entertain? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 157. Jeffrey was so kind to bring in some Turkish coffee, and it's quite splendid, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
And of course, Leighton is in Idaho. He went, you were at a football game. You went up to, what is that place called? Bonner's Ferry?
Bonner's Ferry, yep.
So we're going to get into all of that. We've got a quote for you. I was at a basketball game tonight where my brother was playing. And,
oh, my word. Yeah, the Woodlawn game.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
The biggest deal at UCS.
And then also the poll results. So maybe we should just start with the basketball game. Leighton, did you ever play in the Woodlawn game?
I did. Thankfully, I wasn't a big basketball player. I was actually a pretty small basketball player. But I remember that, when I graduated, I remember thinking, during my junior and senior year, I had better not be the one that, breaks the dynasty of UCS's winning streak. I didn't care how many points I got. I didn't care who got to play or how long I got to play. I was just concerned, don't let me be the one. Don't let my class be the one to break the winning streak for UCS.
I'm pretty proud that my class is the one that got things turned around. We lost as freshmen, and then my final 2 years, we did win out.
That's good.
So I was pretty satisfied with that, and we went on to win a few times. Do you know, Leighton, were you able to hold that dynasty down, or did your class come away with a loss?
My class, we scraped by, but we pulled out a win nonetheless. Okay. It was either the following class or the year after that, after I graduated. So either 1 or 2 years after I graduated is when it all went kaput. Somebody messed up. A bad play was called, or maybe somebody paid off a ref. I'm not exactly sure what happened, but at some point, it all fell apart. And we no longer maintained that winning streak.
Did the coach get fired?
What?
Did the coach get fired?
he wasn't paid to begin with, but I'm pretty sure that he was fired, emotionally. He was emotionally fired up.
Jeffrey, who's older, Jeff or Leighton?
I am.
Jeff is older.
Okay,
a narrow margin.
So you were in a class before Leighton. You graduated before Leighton.
Yeah, I graduated 2 years before.
Did you ever play basketball in the Woodlawn games?
I did. I played several times, but never really for long periods of time. I was not the greatest at sports.
Was I a coach when you played?
Possibly. I think Travis Jenkins was too. Okay. 1 year.
Anyway, we can stop with the suspense. The UCS, they don't have a mascot or a name, so just UCS. They did come away with the win tonight. So congratulations, UCS. The real reason that I went was to watch my brother play. He's on the team.
Theodore.
No, Theodore graduated, as we discussed previous weeks.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Theodore didn't play anyway, but Nicholas was playing. And he didn't play a whole lot, and he's a tough kid, so he can handle this criticism. But the first play that he was in, well, I say play, he was in, and then the ball was either there was a foul or a timeout or something, and he was the guy with inbound throwing the inbound pass, and his foot was on the line when he passed it, and so it's a turnover. Their team got the ball, so he didn't get to play a whole lot.
Was he immediately pulled from the game then?
Not immediately.
Calling a sub.
No, after he fouled, the game, they were ahead by about 10 points, and as the game was getting closer and Woodlawn was fouling and trying to catch up, Nicholas was one of several UCS players that actually committed a foul against Woodlawn, giving them an opportunity to shoot free throws and giving opportunity to score without running the clock down. So he did get to play. I was happy for him. And next year I'll be expecting a little more from him as far as productivity and smart play.
Ah, yes.
Anyway, let's Jeff. You said you have some scary stories for us, Jeff.
Well, yeah. Ooh.
Can you give us just a little tease, and then since it is around that time of year, Halloween time, we'll save that towards the end.
Sure.
But do tease it for
wait,
us.
Wait. I have an idea. Just real quick. It's Tuesday, October 25th, 2016.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. I had to get that out of my system. Now Jeff can tell a scary story if he wants.
Well, basically, I have found some interesting stories about places that are nearby that are really freaky. So that's my tease.
I like where your head's at.
And by nearby, I mean within 20 minutes of where we are at right now.
where both of us are at? Where Layton's at and where we're at?
No, not Layton. Although there may be some places out there, too.
I'm sure there are.
Our quote this week comes from a man I admire greatly, Steve Jobs, the creator, co-founder of Apple. This is what he said, or this is one of his quotes. For the past 33 years, I have looked in the mirror every morning and asked myself, if today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I am about to do today? And whenever the answer has been no for too many days in a row, I know I need to change something. So, I'm very blessed. I really do enjoy what I do with my work and with life. And I know not everyone feels that way about their job or what they're doing. So maybe just use this as a little encouragement maybe to seek out something that you do enjoy. And not every day is going to be great or something that you do enjoy. But if there's too many days in a row where you really don't enjoy your life, then you should probably change something.
Mm. Yes.
Next up, polls. Let's just get those out of the way. Last week, we asked how many different podcasts do you listen to regularly? And the options were 1 to 3, 4 to 10, or more than 10. And we got 11 votes in, and the top one is 1 to 3 podcasts. 55% said they listen to 1 to 3 podcasts. 27% said they listen to 10 or more. And two were between 4 and 10. So either, well, there's not a huge spread there, but percentage-wise, there is. The majority of our listeners do not listen to a whole lot of podcasts, which is a sad thing because it's a great way to learn things or to be entertained. Hopefully on this podcast, you get a decent dose of both.
A light sprinkling of both seasonings.
Layton, I wouldn't really ask you how long your stories will take as far as for the football game you were at and also your adventures up in Bonner's Ferry, but do you generally have an idea? Because depending, maybe we'll just have Jeff maybe do a part one this week and a part two next week.
I'd say my story might, but both would probably take 10 minutes combined.
Okay. All right, so let's go ahead then. Let's start with the football game. And for those of you who don't know, there's a pretty major team in Idaho called Boise State. They're known for their blue field. They've been very good recently, which is strange because they're a very small school, but they have been very good the past maybe 7 or 8 years. So Layton was in the area and decided to go watch a football game on the blue turf. So tell us what it was like and what the experience was.
Oh, okay. Well, we found some decent seats on a website that I'd never heard of. bought the tickets. We all agreed that we would go. And what's amazing is, like, I'm not even, like, that big of a sports fan. I'd say out of all the guys here that are here on this Idaho job, I'm probably, like, the least interested in sports. But, like, after we had decided, like, oh, yeah, like, we bought tickets and we're going to the game, like, a day or two prior to the game, I was the one who was always on the job site being like, hey, Kyle, do you know what's coming up Thursday night, right? Boise State. It's going to be crazy. And like, so much that it actually like annoyed the guys. Like, Layton, just shut up about the game. It was great. Oh, it's so good.
Did you guys buy any gear to go to the game?
Not. I mean, I was thinking about buying like a Carhartt hat to keep me warm, but that was no one actually bought any stuff. Well, Kyle did. Kyle, like during the game, Kyle bought a foam finger that I ended up using the most out of all of us. Like, and waving it around and just like hitting like other people that I don't know, like sitting around me, like hitting them in the face, just like frantically waving the foam finger around.
Intentionally?
Well, not that I admit.
not obviously.
Right. And Kyle also bought like a, well, the Dutch word would be Zippelkop. I don't know what that would be in English.
A beanie.
With a ball on it.
Oh yeah.
Like it does have like a fuzzy ball on the top of the hat. Anyway, Thursday night we're heading up to Boise State University, and like you can just tell like traffic was pretty insane, and like just electricity was in the air. Drunk people were walking down the streets. I mean, it was everything that you would imagine a football game to be. Oh man! And as we entered the stadium, whoa! People like Boise State does this thing at their stadium where like half the stadium will shout Boise, and then the other half will respond with State. So Boise State, Boise State, and like they were chanting that when we entered the stadium, and it was just like we have entered the Coliseum, and this is epic. Like it was, you could just feel the excitement. Oh my word! Ooh, I'm like, my palms are getting sweaty just thinking about it.
I mean, so was this the most electric experience or atmosphere you've been at? When you compare it to like the Apple Festival and Elkhart County Fair?
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that was like more like. I did go to a Winter Jam concert. That was pretty electrifying, but this was a little bit more amped up, at least at the beginning.
So if it was this amped up at the beginning, did you guys get there before the initial kickoff?
Oh, yeah, we did. We got there like 3 minutes or like 4 minutes before kickoff.
Okay.
It was really, really close. And they don't have like their like system of like filing people in, like getting people into the stadium and checking their tickets and everything isn't near as streamlined as Notre Dame. But anyway, that doesn't matter. It just took us a while to get up into the nosebleeder seats where we had our tickets. Anyways, we got there, we sat down, the game was insane. It was back and forth. Oh my word. Oh, it was so intense. Oh,
there was
wow.
Actually there was a major play that made national sporting news with there was a fake punt by BYU, which was the other team, and they punted it from their own end zone, and it was a fake punt. They faked it and they didn't convert because it was like 4th and 15 or something outrageous.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. BYU is pretty crazy.
Did it go at that moment? Like, was there a lot of yelling and screaming and cheering going on?
Yeah, it was really intense. Oh my word! And yeah, it was a really close game. It ended up Boise State won, thankfully. I mean, us guys, we were cheering for the home team, and Boise State won 28-27. It was just really, really close game.
Wow!
Oh my word! And our voices were gone. Oh my word! Oh, so bad. So bad. And what's really crazy is like, so all four of us guys who were working, we went to the game and we stayed up probably like the latest that we had stayed, like any of us had stayed up since we had gotten to Idaho. And so, like, all four of us the next morning are just exhausted, and, like, nobody wanted to work. It was so bad. It was fun, though, man.
So tell us about Bonner's Ferry. Why did you guys decide to go up there? What did you guys do up there?
Bonner's Ferry was Kyle's idea. He wanted to go up and visit some friends and also visit his sister and brother-in-law. They happened to be up there at the same time as well. And I decided to tag along. And it's like an 8-hour drive from Boise to Bonner's Ferry. And like the scenery is amazing. The scenery on the way there is insane.
Did you get some good shots with your camera?
Yes, I did, Jeff. I still need to post to Instagram. I still need to do that. But I have a few pictures that I want to post. But it's really, really nice country up there. Bonner's Ferry is only like 30 minutes away from the Canadian border, for anybody who doesn't know. Which I didn't know, so yeah. we got up there. We left after work on Friday, got up there around 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, something like that. That night. And then we pretty much just went to sleep. And then we woke up and ate breakfast at Aaron and Amanda's house, who Kyle was visiting. I mean, that's who pretty much everyone was visiting. Aaron and Kyle's house, they just had a baby, and it's, like, really, really adorable and, like, totally, totally giggly. It's insane. super cute. Super cute.
So every time I hear stories about Idaho, I always hear about going hiking or shooting elk. Did you guys do any of that sort of things, or were you more civil?
Well, Johnny and Seth tried to go hunting and shooting elk, but it was all in vain because they didn't shoot a thing. But me and Kyle, on the other hand, in the meantime, Kyle and I went with Aaron and Amanda and Johnny's sister Sarah to Johnny was there too. It was just Seth that wasn't there. Seth and Danae didn't go along. Aaron tried to take us to, I don't know, some kind of like lake that's on top of a mountain or something. I don't know. It's crazy. It sounds crazy anyway. And we got most of the way up the mountain. We were driving. Got most of the way up at the mountain. And then we got above the snow line. And the snows got so deep that we actually got stuck. Or not that we...
So there's still snow. There's still snow out there.
Oh, yeah. It's insane. Oh, yeah.
And winter hasn't even started yet.
I mean, there's snow if you go high enough. There's, like, snow caps on the mountains.
Okay.
It's not that it's snowing just all over the place.
Yeah, but, I know what you mean.
But, yeah, it's definitely, like, deep enough that, like, yeah, we got stuck up in the mountain. And we struggled along for a little bit, and, you know, I tried pushing. Me and Kyle and Johnny tried pushing Aaron, like, who was driving, up, and then that wasn't working. So then Aaron got out and told me to get in the driver's seat because he claimed that I wasn't pushing hard enough or didn't have enough strength, whatever. I don't care. Whatever, it doesn't matter. I know I'm strong enough, so I don't care what his opinion is. And so I was in the driver's seat, and when I did, you know, I think it was because of my driving skills that we did get a little bit further. But it was still all to no avail. It was when we were doing those like really sharp switchbacks up the mountain. It was during those switchbacks that were like really hard to get up. And so we finally got to like one of the deepest snows and like hardest switchback. And we weren't sure if we should keep on trying to go up the mountain or if we should just give up and go back down. And so then we were like, well, if only we knew what was ahead. So Kyle got out his drone. He brought his drone along and we used his drone to check what was
very cool.
What was coming up, and it was a straight shot, or like to us anyway. I mean, it seemed like it was pretty straight for a while. I mean, yeah. So we're like, okay, well, let's just get up the switchback yet, and then we'll go on as far as we can. But sadly, even with me driving and my insane driving skills and Aaron's apparently better pushing skills, still we could not traverse the snow. And so we just took some pictures when we were on that switchback, it turned out kind of nice. I can post that to Instagram as well. Picture of like Aaron and Amanda and Sarah and Johnny and Kyle on Instagram. I can post that. But yeah, we took a few pictures and then we just headed back down the mountain and gave up.
Well, that's too bad. How long had you driven, you know, from where you were staying to where you eventually turned around?
Maybe like 20 minutes.
Oh, okay. I was thinking like maybe 2 hours.
Oh, wait, you mean how far is Aaron and Amanda's house?
Yeah, from where you decided at Aaron and Amanda's house, hey, let's go up to this lake, and then you like started driving over there and then didn't make it.
Oh, yeah, it was more like an hour and a half, I would guess.
Okay. Anything else exciting that the listeners would like to hear?
Oh, yeah. So we also went to Aaron and Amanda's church Sunday morning, and it was really nice, whatever. It was good. I came dressed in my Sunday best.
Did Kyle go with basketball shorts and a t-shirt?
He was going to, but then I told him that, you know, he can't. It's just not legal. It would be too offensive to the locals, and, like, I want to be welcomed there again if I would ever visit. And he was like, you know what, Layden, you're right. I'll put some pants on. and I went dressed in my Sunday best, whatever, and I wore my big wool coat that I had brought along. And when I got there, I hung up my wool coat, and we had Sunday school and then the message, and it was good. It was fine. And then Kyle and I, as soon as church was over, like, we had to get back onto the road because we were crunched for time because
you had because to work we had to the get next
the,
day.
The rental car back. Oh. We had to get the rental car back in time before they would close. So we quickly go back to Aaron and Amanda's house and we change, and then I remember, oh my word, I forgot my wool coat at their church. And so we immediately go back to the church, and I'm in my traveling clothes, so I'm wearing like athletic pants and like an Air Jordan t-shirt. And it was like they had just seen me in my Sunday clothes, and now they're seeing me like almost in my pajamas. It was, yeah. And like I walk in there, and everybody's like still like talking and just like, you know, having their after church chats, and they just all look at me funny, and I'm like, hey, you'll probably never see me again. It's fine, whatever. Say, so, at least I'm wearing pants.
They probably didn't recognize me. They thought some random dude's walking in stealing someone's jacket.
Just like, why is this
someone off the street
stealing
yeah.
somebody's clothes? Anyways, yeah, that's pretty much everything that happened.
All right, cool. All right, Jeffy, let's hear some scary stories.
Oh yeah. So
and be sure, in case someone's not from here, maybe they want to Google search it to find out where it's at. Just if there's a name of it, just say this is what it's called, and it's so many miles south of Bremen, Indiana, or sure. whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I assume you're already guessing one of the places I'm talking about. My first story, however, is about Notre Dame. Notre Dame is supposedly haunted.
Is this a joke about how bad their season's going?
No.
Okay.
No, this is actually in the middle of the Notre Dame campus. There's this place called Washington Hall. It's a building. And it is supposedly haunted by the ghost of George Gipp. And he's the one he's the reason behind the saying, win one for the Gipper. Which is, I didn't know that, but it's apparently a fairly common term with Notre Dame fans.
Around sporting circles, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's the reason for this. Basically, he used to like stay out late, past the curfew, and so
and he, was he a student?
He was a student back in the day, back in 1920s. Yeah,
and Layton's just being. I can for those of you listening. Layton's on my screen, and he's making faces and switching the camera around and distracting me, and then Jess being distracted by me being distracted.
Oh, yeah. This is great. So anyways, like, so he like, stayed out. He actually, one night, he was too scared to go back in his dorm because he'd get caught for being out after curfew. So he slept on the steps of this Washington Hall, and according to the legend, contracted pneumonia and died. And now his ghost haunts that hall. So that used to be just like well, I'm not even sure what the building was, but now it is the it has a theater in it for the drama club and a couple classrooms. Shortly after his death, students claimed to hear music playing late at night, like seemingly coming from nowhere. There were footsteps in the halls. Doors would just randomly close. One of the students claimed he was pushed down the stairs and there was nobody there.
Was there any rape allegations?
Sadly, not this time. No, just kidding. Then later in 1945, they claimed they heard footsteps on the roof. And just different things throughout the years. There's people there that still, people at Notre Dame right now that would claim they've heard, you know, music playing or seen stage props fall over. One student claims that he's seen a light bulb unscrew itself from the stage. You know, just random stories like that. So, yeah, it's really, really interesting.
I kind of remember, I took a tour of Notre Dame as a high school student, or we went for a field trip, our class, and I do remember faintly hearing that story and about this place is, yeah, supposedly haunted and things move around and whatnot. Was Gipper, was he a football player or was he a student?
I believe he was both. Yeah. Okay. I mean, a student at Notre Dame and a football player, I believe so. Yeah. There's another place, there's a couple haunted places around our area, actually, around home here. But one of the most famous ones is a graveyard called Little Egypt. And I'm sure quite a few of you who live around here have heard of it already. But basically, this is a freaky graveyard. I mean, I've drove past it several times. It is south of Bremen on Fifth Road, near Hawthorne. It's actually on 5A Road, but Fifth Road pretty much continues on to there. It's really weird as you get up to it because literally the graveyard is in the dead center of the road, and so the road makes a sharp kind of a half square around the graveyard. Very sharp corners. It's really, really odd. The graveyard is maybe 100 feet square, like 100 feet long and 100 feet wide, and the road is right next to it.
Yeah, it's not very big at all, the graveyard.
Yeah, very small, and there's like tons of freaky stories.
If you go onto Google Maps and just look up Little Egypt Cemetery, it'll show it on the map, and you can see how much the road just like it like goes right into it and then sharply turns and like goes around it.
Yes,
it's crazy.
So supposedly a farmer died in the field there, and so if you go late at night out into the field or in the woods around that area, there's a set of headlights that will chase you through the field and down the road a little ways after you get in your vehicle and leave. If you get out of your vehicle and go into the graveyard at midnight and toss a nickel on a specific tombstone of a baby, you'll hear the baby crying. And then when you get back to your vehicle, you will find handprints all over your vehicle, mysterious handprints.
I've driven past here before. Do you know anybody who has gone there at night or tried some of these things?
I don't know anybody who has specifically tried this. However, I do have a friend from high school, someone that I went to high school with, his truck randomly broke as he was going around this graveyard in the middle of the night. He was out coon hunting. He was heading home. And he was driving around this graveyard, and all of a sudden he heard this bang, and like and his truck started doing weird things, and he was like freaked out. So he quick took off and found out that his transaxle broke, which is the part that makes your truck four-wheel drive. Basically, the drive shaft comes from the motor to the back tires, but then the transaxle is in there too to allow turning force to go to the front tires as well. And that part broke, which is not a very common part to break on a vehicle. Very weird that it happened just as he was going around there. Yeah, he was pretty freaked out about that.
I do know this particular person you're talking about, and I kind of remember, and he's very sensible, but I know that he does get skittish. So I can only imagine how it would have been there at Little Egypt.
Yeah.
And was he alone?
I'm not sure.
I thought maybe his brother was with him.
I think there may have been somebody with him, yeah.
But either way, I mean, yeah. It would definitely raise the hairs on anyone's
mm-hmm,
neck.
Mm-hmm. There were supposedly, back years ago, there used to be animal sacrifices in the woods nearby. People say that it still happens today, although there's no evidence of that. There's also a haunted bridge, a troll bridge, actually. And if you get out near the bridge at night, this troll will come and start chasing you around.
What if it catches you?
Nobody's ever been caught. Or at least if they got caught, nobody ever found them again. So nobody knows. There's also a haunted house nearby, which I think actually somebody bought that and has renovated it. But it used to be haunted, at least. People would go in. And actually, a ghost hunter team went in there once and took recordings and heard mysterious voices on the recording that they didn't hear in real life.
So, like a legitimate ghost hunter team?
Well, a semi-legitimate. Like somebody that actually does ghost hunting, not necessarily a professional ghost hunter team, but somebody that does this as a hobby. Went in there. A group of people did this.
Where was this? Where is this house?
It's right next to Little Egypt, just about within a half mile. I think it's on Hawthorne Road. There, I'm not sure exactly where it is, but yeah, just some really weird stuff. Just this past within the past year and a half, they actually did find somebody dead there. There was somebody was killed and the body was burned and dumped right near the troll bridge there. But that's unrelated to the graveyard.
Okay.
But still another freaky story that happened around that area. So, yeah, just an interesting place.
All right. Layton, we need our word of the week. But before we do that, we also need a poll question. But I guess before we get to all of that, are there any final thoughts, anything that any of you guys wanted to share before we start wrapping this up?
I don't have anything.
Nope.
All right, poll question for this week. All right, I think it's important just so listeners know, we're not glorifying any kind of this stuff or encouraging you to go to Little Egypt. I definitely think that there are demonic forces out there, and I think weird things have definitely happened, and I don't think it's good to tempt or to try to put yourself in a position where you do encounter some of these things. But our question for this week, poll question, will be, have you ever encountered something supernatural, and not like the Holy Ghost kind of way, but something that scared you.
Some paranormal activity, something that is not something from God, something that happened to you physically,
or maybe something like that. Something you saw.
Yeah.
All right. There's our poll question, Layton. What is our word of the week?
Oh man, I think after all, everything that's happened and talked about, I think word of the week is graveyard.
All right. Ooh. And do check back next week. We plan to have Mr. Dave on the podcast with another weird story from history. And I think that's all we've got. Leighton, work, is it getting close to, are you guys on schedule, getting wrapped up on time?
I think we're only like 3 or 4 weeks behind, so we're sitting pretty good.
All right, that's good to hear. All right, yep. Thank you guys for listening. I'm not sure if we'll have a live stream next week or not, just because with the time difference, sometimes it's a little bit hard to do, and it's probably unhandy for the few faithful who do tune in.
Something I thought about, if you have a story related to the poll question, if you do have a story and would like to share it, we would love to hear it, and we'll share it on the podcast next week. Next week will be the day after Halloween, I believe. So it'll definitely be still within the appropriate time of sharing creepy stories.
Thank you, Jeff. And you can send it via email, mail@frenchpresspodcast.com, or send us a message on Facebook. Our Facebook page is there as well. And there was one other thing that I had missed, a podcast recommendation from Valinda. And it's a podcast by Mike Rowe. And you guys probably know him from Dirty Jobs. He did that TV show, which is really interesting TV show. He also has a podcast. It's not super, super frequent, but it is interesting, and he's just a great storyteller, and I'm sure you guys will enjoy it as well. And the podcast, if I can find the name of it, there it is, The Way I Heard It with Mike Rowe. So check that out. They're short little episodes, but interesting stories with him. So thank you guys for listening, and check back next week.